That's 10 years since Kim Jong-un took power in North Korea.
Escalating tensions with North Korea.
So North Korea continues with their missile tests.
NK Now getting the latest out of Pyongyang. Joining us, the lead Seoul correspondent for NK News, Kim Jung-min. Hello.
Good morning, Henry.
Good morning. Some updates on some launches of missiles, cruise missiles as well. What's the latest that we know?
Well, before talking about the ones that were fired a few days ago, just briefly, North Korea says this morning that they tested strategic cruise missiles from a submarine underwater on Sunday, and that it was meant as a demonstration to the U.S. and South Korea as the country's diverse nuclear strike methods. And South Korean military actually texted just at around 5:51 a.m. that I can see that North Korea tested an unidentified missile from a submarine, but it's not clear if the North Korean state media came first or South Korean military came first. So we'll have to see about that. And about the other stuff, details about the multiple missiles at once. They came out first on Thursday evening when we first heard that there was at least one short-range ballistic missile fired from Nampo towards the Yellow Sea. But then, quite unusually, it took hours until the Joint Chief of Staff to send a follow-up message. And also unusually, they did not say range or aperture of those missiles, but simply said that they're analyzing based on the possibility that North Korea fired multiple at once from the same region. And the next morning on Rodong Shinbun newspaper, North Korea lauded a successful test of multiple tactical nuclear missiles from one region. Photos did show that it involved six short-range ballistic missile launch vehicles, each capable of carrying four missiles. And state media called that their fire attack company gave a powerful volley to the target on the West Sea of Korea, and that they simulated positions of the enemy's operation airfield, which means that's where the U.S. And that the drill demonstrated capability for an actual war. And they added that it demonstrated North Korea's practical will of military action and determination to carry out practical stuff rather than words. And this is likely a reference to how they have been warning U.S. and South Korea about their joint drills, one of which started today, and the Freedom Shield will be met with unprecedented and sustained response. Kim Jong-un was there on the Thursday one. It's not clear if he was there on the cruise missile one from the submarine. Kim Jong-un is referring to war preparations becoming more frantic these days from South Korea and the U.S., that they and interesting how he's also using overwhelming response sort of rhetoric. It's kind of similar to President Yoon as well. Both of them are continuing to say that they are the ones that they can bring overwhelming contradictions to each other. And Kim also referred to dual strategic missions for both deterring war and taking initiative. These are concerning because this was language we saw before last year in July and September, which I talked about here, when Kim changed the country's nuclear use policy to not just deterrence, but also potentially first strike as well.
Now, we need to also, as we've been doing on a regular basis now, discuss the daughter of Kim Jong-un. She was there. She's appeared on state media now more than half a dozen times with these military-related events, right?
Right. There were definitely some learning sort of optics with her sitting next to Kim during the missile test, similar to the ICBM test appearance last year. She's now much more formal looking than she first appeared last year. She was wearing the usual black coat, the usual stuff, seated behind Kim in a couch while other military officials were standing and politely standing next to him. And in photos, Kim was also walking with military commanders, and the daughter is also in the shot. She was walking in the street looking like she's not sticking to certain choreography, but having some sort of freedom to move around, even if it was a military site. And this sort of optics continue to feed into both interpretations I've talked about here multiple times, that she's either being groomed as potential successor to learn this very important task and duty as leader of North Korean leader, as some people say, or she is utilized for propaganda purposes to make military officers pledge loyalty to the Kim family, next generation Kim, inheriting the country and its nuclear power and so on and so forth.
Right. So you can argue how much can a prepubescent child learn about things by going to these events to be groomed to become a national leader. The propaganda does seem to be one of the effects of this. So we'll have to see all of this going forward. Always a lot of intrigue there. Now, there was a meeting that Kim Jong-un led over the weekend, and this was directly regarding what you just mentioned prior, the U.S.-South Korea drills that are starting today.
Right. The Freedom Shield, North Korea has been talking about it for a while. There was a Central Military Commission meeting over the weekend. And to put this all into context, there were multiple statements from North Korean military foreign ministry leader Sister Kim Yo-jung for weeks and weeks about warning about these Freedom Shield drills and other stuff, counter responses, et cetera, and how these are seen as nuclear war demonstration against North Korea and a war declaration. And Kim led the meeting that reportedly made decisions on North Korea's upcoming practical measures, like what we saw with another report earlier, whatever that may be, maybe something that we saw just now about the cruise missile from the submarine for powerfully responding to what they call U.S.-South Korean war provocations.
Right. Well, that is going to be another potential powder keg. But going back to the media coverage, you and some of the other foreign correspondents last week met with high-level unification ministry officials to discuss North Korea. Were there any further details, and I guess moving away from the military aspects of this, in regards to the humanitarian situation, the food shortages, the starvation problems in the country?
Right. It was a very interesting conversation. There were, before we met the official, there were reports that I've discussed here about mass starvation in North Korea, especially Kaesong, citing government sources. The official we met said it's nowhere near mass starvation like in the 1990s Arduous March. But if that, but that is true, according to government intel, that there are some starvation of most vulnerable population in some small and medium cities that lack access to farmlands, but with high market price. So according to this official, it's not like in big city like Pyongyang, but some, due to accumulated difficulties like sanctions, COVID border closure, running out of government stocks to give up, price going up, etc. So it's a generally bad economic situation impacting the most vulnerable. There were a few other interesting parts as well in the conversation that the official also confirmed that Chinese vaccines definitely went in at some point, but that it's unclear if populations are getting inoculated or not.
Yes, and so there's never going to be any transparency with the food shortages and the actual humanitarian situations. But as you say, the science do seem to indicate we are nowhere near that 90s arduous march era of starvation. So I guess on the one hand, if you look at it glass half full, that's one thing. But certainly there are some concerns, especially with the aftermath of the COVID-19 pandemic. All right.
Exactly.
And finally, as we move forward and people do not have their access to Kim Jong-min on this radio format with her timely news reporting and analysis, what do you think our listeners should look out for regarding North Korea in the coming weeks?
It's going to be a very, very busy few weeks on the Korean peninsula that it would have been, I would have happy to brief all of you on. There would be various South Korean U.S. drills and almost certainly North Korean missile launches and other drills like last autumn and even worse. Very unfortunate I can't brief you next week, but a few things to keep an eye on for those who will be still monitoring developments here. It will be important to see how strong of a rhetoric from the South Korean President Office, NJCS, would be, and if any measures from South Korean side will go beyond proportional level if North Korea crosses any lines, like firing into the buffer zone. We saw that before. And whether South Korea will suspend the comprehensive military agreement, send over their own missiles or artilleries into the buffer zone, et cetera, would also be important spaces to watch. It will also be critical if North Korea pushes further towards potential end-to-end ICBM tests or other types types of new tactical news delivery system demonstrations aimed in South Korea, or even a satellite launch as well. And all in all, the next few weeks, I think up until April, South Korea-U.S. Summit, it would potentially be another very, very busy escalation phase. And Henry, I wanted to thank you for being such a generous host so far. Let's keep in touch. Thanks for having me here.
Jungmin, I want to thank you in turn for everything that you've done over the past year or so with NK News. Obviously, it is unfortunate that this very important bit of news won't be making the way to our listeners. But for those of you out there who like Jungmin's news coverage and her analysis, you can always follow her on NK News. I believe there are paywalls involved with that, but people have to make a living. People have to put food on their table, and Jungmin is no exception to that. But I want to say once again, thank you. We don't know when we will be back on air, but it has obviously been a great time, and we wish you the best of luck and hopefully talk to you again in the future.
Same to you, Henry. Thank you.